Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a savior, the hope of nations.
Welcome, friends, to worship here on this lovely fall day in Qualicum Beach. Welcome to St. Stephen's. We are delighted that you can join us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in our call to worship today, in which we come into God's presence very deliberately and purposefully, seeking His presence, His Spirit. The Lord of life comes to us where we are. He makes His home with us. Let us open our hearts to be filled and equipped by His Holy Spirit. We are ready to receive the gifts of God. In faith, we open our hearts. Willingly, we offer ourselves to bring His grace and acceptance to the lost and the least. And as we think about what we've just said, let's light the Christ candle, welcoming Jesus in His sanctuary. For our opening prayer this week, I was inspired by this contemporary worship song, and really I've altered it very, very little for us to pray together. Please pray with me. The lost are saved and find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. All the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed and the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man. You are high and lifted up. With all the world, we will praise your great name. Redeemer, healer, Lord Almighty, Defender, Savior, you are our King. Together we praise your great name. Amen. Let's come to confession together, seeking God's mercy and forgiveness. Let's pray the prayer of confession. Eternal God, you do not change. You have revealed yourself to us in your word. You call us to worship you in spirit and in truth. But we confess that we often worship not your true self, but who we wish you to be. We too often ask you to bless what we do rather than seeking to do what you bless. Forgive us for seeking concessions when we should be seeking guidance. Forgive us when our worship shapes you into what we want instead of shaping us into what you want. Help us to meet you here, that we might bow before your unspeakable majesty, and so live for you now and forever in Christ. Amen.
Friends, disciples, followers of the living Christ, know that you are forgiven always, and you are freed to begin anew through God's everlasting love and mercy. This is the good news of our gospel, friends. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Hello. Today's readings are from Mark 7, verses 24 to 37, and I'll be reading from my New International Version Bible. The Faith of a Syrian Phoenician Woman. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. And then the healing of a deaf and dumb man. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There were some people who brought a man to him who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He makes even the deaf hear and the dumb speak." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today's is a strange reading, my friends. Jesus was behaving in unusual ways. He's anything but predictable here. He was healing, but the things he was doing in the process of that were rather odd. Putting his fingers in a deaf man's ears and spitting and touching his tongue. And the episode with the woman with the sick daughter was fairly bizarre in its own right. While Jesus did end up healing her daughter, in the process, he had a very peculiar conversation with her. He told her that it wouldn't be right for him to heal her daughter. He was still only focusing his ministry on the children of Israel, not on the Gentiles' dogs yet. Dog was a word that Jewish people would use to refer to Gentiles. Now, I don't know about you, but that whole exchange makes me very uneasy. I really don't like to think of Jesus responding in that way, especially to a woman who just wanted her sick daughter to be healed. Well, it probably made Jesus' followers in his day uneasy too, but probably not for quite the same reasons. Where I'm uncomfortable with Jesus being anything but eager and happy to heal someone, they would have been shocked by the fact that, number one, she was a woman who had the audacity to come to Jesus in a society when women didn't generally approach men, especially men of authority. Number two, she was a Gentile seeking healing from a Jewish rabbi. And number three, she dared to argue with him, to pester him and keep at him, even after he had apparently rebuffed her. Well, and the woman, she was probably pretty uncomfortable in all of this as well. But even so, her love for her daughter ruled, and she persevered. And somewhere in the course of that rather charged theological debate they had, Jesus granted her request and healed her daughter. Which actually brings its own questions that might make us even more uncomfortable. What happened? Why did he seem to change his answer to her? Why did he say no at first and then relent? Did her perseverance impress him? Or did he just want her to go away? Did he change his mind somehow? Did he discern something of the Holy Spirit in the arguments she was making? Well, honestly, we don't know. It could be any of those things. I think it was probably most likely the last one, that Jesus did discern something of the Spirit of God in her actions or in her words or in her heart. And so as a result, something did change. Jesus had said to her that his mission was first to the people of Israel, but then he relented. He commended her actions and he healed her daughter. For some reason, he decided that it was time to shift the way his mission was being expressed and lived out. Well, it is those kinds of changes that I'm actually interested in us thinking about together today. The changes in our understanding of how we are to live out God's mission. Because this was not a one-off situation. These kinds of changes have happened throughout the life of the church. If you look at our history, you'll see that the ways we embody and carry God's love to the world are really always changing. It's happened since nearly the beginning, and it will certainly continue beyond us. In Acts chapter 9, we hear how Paul was actually called by Christ himself and sent not to continue the work that the early church had been doing to that point among the Jewish people, but rather Paul was sent to the Gentiles, people who had yet to hear anything about Jesus. And then right after that, in Acts 10, we see how Peter was led by the Spirit to a Roman centurion named Cornelius, a Gentile who he realized the Holy Spirit was clearly working in. Both of those experiences led the church at that time to a broader understanding of how God was calling Jesus' followers to live out his mission. It was no longer just for Jews. It was for everyone, for Gentiles as well. Well, there have been many instances of changes like this happening. Changes in our understanding of how we are to faithfully be God's people, embodying his love in the world. Let me list a few for you. The abolition of slavery was one. The accepting of the call of women to preach and teach and lead. The Reformation and the establishment of the church beyond the Roman Catholic Church that came as a result. Letting go of the requirement for clergy to be celibate. The use of pain relief in childbirth. Being acceptable to study human anatomy. It being permissible to translate the Bible, and then even more, it being okay to actually put the Bible into the hands of lay people rather than just into the priest's hands. Having music in worship services. There was a time when that was not considered faithful. The use of contraception in family planning, the acceptance and care of those enduring divorce. These are all changes that the church has had to face, changes we've had to wrestle with as we discern how to faithfully live out Jesus' commission to us. Now, to those of us sitting here today, many of those things that I just listed probably seem preposterous. Of course it's okay to study human anatomy. Of course it's okay, even a good thing, to translate the Bible. Of course it's a good thing that you and I get to have our own Bibles. And of course we have music as part of our worship services. But you know, each of those things in their times, they represented a massive stretch for the people who were facing those choices. Some of them are still a push in some branches of the church today. I am well aware that while you have graciously welcomed me to this pulpit, I would not have to drive very far. I wouldn't even have to leave Oceanside to find a congregation who wouldn't welcome me to theirs, simply because I'm not a man. Well, before we judge that too harshly, we in our day face our own changes to discern, changes in the church at large and changes here locally in our own congregation. And as we face each of these things as they come, they often feel huge and daunting to us. For many of us, we probably feel like we'd rather not embrace these things, just keep things the way they are. Now, perhaps down the road, people will look back at us and they will think that these things are minor. For them, with the benefit of hindsight, the change seems to have been obvious. But for us sitting here today, in the midst of it, we are still not quite so sure. If you'd like a recent example of this, it happened in March 2020, when we had to suddenly close the doors of this building and then try to discern how we were going to continue to worship together as a congregation when we couldn't gather. Was recording a service to an iPhone with no one present and then broadcasting it over the internet, was that actually worship? What about leading communion over the internet? Was that faithful? I have to tell you that we were not sure in those moments when we were making those choices. Nobody was sure. Making our way through these changes in our understanding, whenever and however they come, it requires deep faith and courage. In today's story with this persistent Gentile mother, Jesus was in those moments somehow able to discern how God's mission was to be lived out. How it was time for a shift so that God's love could be shared with her. But we aren't Jesus, are we? And discerning isn't quite as clear for us. But we still have to do it. And fortunately, in Acts chapter 15, we find a story from the early church that can guide us as we do discern. We haven't heard that reading today, so let me give you a snapshot of it. Long story short, the church was actually facing one of these shifts. The movement that Jesus began had started among Jewish people, and to many at that time, it was understood to be a Jewish movement, a new expression of Judaism. But then Paul was sent by Christ himself to the Gentiles, and Peter was led by the Spirit to Cornelius. And so with those things, it started to become clear that a shift was happening, and that through the Holy Spirit, God was now including Gentiles in his mission as well. Well, that meant that eventually, the leaders of the early church had to gather to wrestle with a very big question. Did all of those new Gentile followers of Jesus need to adhere to the laws of Judaism? Did they need to follow food laws? Did they need to be circumcised? This became a huge issue. In large part because, as Peter testifies in Acts 15, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved. We believe that you don't need to do anything to be saved. Jesus has done all that needs to be done, and all we have to do is trust that. But if that is true, and if that truly is the heart of our faith, then why would a Gentile need to be circumcised? Wouldn't that be completely contrary to that message of the gospel? This was a big deal, and it had the potential to create a huge fracture in the early church. So in Acts 15, we hear how the apostles came together to debate and discern how they were going to handle this shift. They heard about what had happened with Paul and with Peter. They wrestled with all of the theology as best they understood it in those early days. And they listened for God's leading. And at the end of all that, they made what they felt was a faithful decision. The apostles discerned that it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit to not require Gentiles to observe the laws of Judaism. That was their decision. And that phrase that they used to communicate it, it's an important one for us to hold on to. It seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. Because as we discern our way forward, as we come to these questions that will come to us, that phrase reminds us what we're called to do, to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit today, to discern what seems good to us and to the Holy Spirit for our time and in our place. Now, discernment like this is not easy. I'm not trying to say that it is. It's not. It's uncomfortable and it's hard. The faithful path forward is not always clear in the midst of these things. In fact, most often it's probably not very clear at all. In the end, making that discerning decision usually takes a leap of faith and a whole lot of courage. We do the best we can. We listen for the Spirit's leading and understanding. And in the end, we try to discern whether this thing that we are looking at can be done with love for God, and with love for others. Because remember, Jesus has clearly taught us that those two things are always our guide. That's why he named them as the two greatest commands. He said that all of the teachings of the law and the prophets actually hang on those two commands. Well, friends, the church as a whole is going through huge shifts, especially the church in the Western world. We don't know where these shifts will take us, but we do know that they're happening and that they will probably necessitate some changes. Being called in new directions is often uncomfortable, at least at the beginning, simply because it's all new and unfamiliar. We aren't sure whether the direction is right. We aren't sure how it will all turn out. But as we face these things, we need to remember that there are still a whole bunch of people out there who don't know just how much God loves them. And the changes we face and the challenging steps that we are called to take in our time, they may just make it possible for those people to experience God's love and to discover the life that he has for us all. And that is the heart of God's mission in this world, my friends. It always has been, and it always will be. Amen.
Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. My soul athirst may be, My Savior leads me, all the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Prayers today are in response to a world that seems to be broken in many ways. I begin with a quote from Samuel Rutherford. Our little time of suffering is not worthy of our first night's welcome home to heaven. Today's prayers are responsive. The bidding is Lord of infinite love, and the reply is hear our prayer. Lord of infinite love, hear our prayer. God of compassion, we come before you with heavy hearts, witnessing the brokenness of our world. For a planet groaning under the weight of climate change, for communities torn apart by conflict and war, for societies fractured by inequality and injustice. Lord of love, hear our prayer. We pray for those who suffer, the hungry and the homeless, the sick and the lonely, the oppressed and the forgotten. Lord of infinite love, hear our prayer. We ask for wisdom for our leaders, that they may seek peace over conflict, justice over self-interest, and the common good over personal gain. Lord of love, hear our prayer. We pray for healing in our communities, for reconciliation between divided groups, for understanding across cultural boundaries, for compassion to replace indifference. Lord of infinite love, hear our prayer. We ask for strength for your church, to be a beacon of hope in dark times, to offer comfort to the suffering, to work tirelessly for justice and peace. Lord of infinite love, hear our prayer. And we pray for ourselves, that we may be instruments of your love, agents of healing in a broken world, bearers of your light in the darkness. Lord of infinite love, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear these prayers. Grant us the courage and compassion to be your hands and feet in this world, working towards the healing and wholeness you desire for all creation. And I often look for ways to include my favorite quote, and today is one of those days. It is one that I've used before, but it fits my theme today. It is from L.R. Knost. Do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended. Not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go. Love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in the darkness for the light that is you. Now let us pray in the words our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, let me thank you again for all of the ways you have given to the life and work of the church, ways that make ministries like this one, this online service, possible. Let's pray together now our offertory prayer so that we can dedicate all of the gifts you have so faithfully given to God's purposes of bringing life and love in this world. Pray with me. Blessed are you, God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, may you depart today knowing the invitation of God to move from what we know to what we have yet to discover, from where we have been to where we have yet to go. Go in the example of the saints before you, saints like Paul and Peter, who were willing to follow where the Spirit led. Go in the name of Jesus Christ, who said, "Follow me," without saying where he was going. And as you go, may you know the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this day and always. Amen.